Doug Adler from Raymond James in East Lansing. Doug, how are you?
Hey, good, Tony. Good morning.
All right. What are we expecting out of the market today?
We're going to be down a little bit on the open, at least if things hold right now, Tony. But the big news today is Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, is going to be out kind of giving us his, at least the market's hoping, giving us his guidance and what he expects to see in terms of Fed policy as we move forward. So that's kind of the big carrot in front of the horse this morning.
But I guess what we need to know are details, and we don't know if he's going to get details of what he thinks his office can do to help the market.
Yeah, that's right. You know, in my humble opinion, I kind of tend to think he's not going to do much in that regard, other than really try to remind the market that the Fed is there if need be. You know, we've done so much. You know, you've talked about it on the show. There's been trillions of dollars that the Federal Reserve has pumped into the system in one form or another. You know, somewhere you either, A, have to sit back, I think, and take the medicine, or B, you've got to sit back to not look desperate. And so I think both of those kind of put a little pressure on the Fed chairman to just say, oh, we're going to take a pause, but we're here if things do get out of hand. And, of course, what he's worried about getting out of hand is the economy, you know, contracting.
Apparently, billionaire Warren Buffett's administrative assistant placed a call on Wednesday to the CEO of Bank of America and had a proposal about how he could infuse a lot of money in. And at first, he was kind of blown off, but after some more conversations, the deal got done. I thought it was funny because Warren Buffett said he got the idea while he was in the tub. So he's he's pumping $5 billion into Bank of America. Talk about this deal.
Yeah, you know, the market rejoiced when this was announced. You know, Mr. Buffett, obviously a very shrewd investor. He's got a history of stepping in, you know, when somebody's on their back, so to speak, and giving them a hand up to his advantage. You know, I'll give you an example. Back in 08, maybe the timeline rolled into early 09, but at the same time, Berkshire Hathaway, Mr. Buffett's company, injected money into General Electric and Goldman Sachs. Interesting thing, Goldman Sachs, his deal with Goldman Sachs at that time was around $120 or $125 a share. And the stock, Goldman, their stock ultimately dropped to around 50. So he was a bit early on that one. Now, he did ultimately do pretty well. Bank of America yesterday, Tony, reacts to the news, and it jumped as much as about 25% in a single day. By the close, though, we were up about 10. And it's important to know, on Bank of America, that stock is down about 52, or rather, right up, excuse me, earlier this week, it hit a 52-week low, so a 12-month price low. And he did not buy the common stock. He invested in what's known as preferred stock. So he's in there more as an interest beneficiary. He's going to get payments from Bank of America. The stock could go to a dollar, and he's not going to lose money. At the same time, he has warrants to buy, which are like options. He has an option to buy stock, common stock at Bank of America, at a predetermined price, which looks pretty favorable to him. So overall, you'd have to say Mr. Buffett did pretty well, and the bank, I think, was trying to show the market that they had people that are still interested in the company, and, you know, here's the example of $5 billion coming in.
Is $5 billion enough to really make a move, or is it the act itself when we're talking about all the money that goes through the market?
You know, I think the setup was right with this, and, I mean, this is... Sometimes you watch the trail of events and you have to ask at least say to yourself, because as we came into this, there's two analysts on Wall Street, a woman named Meredith Whitney and a gentleman named Dick Beauvais, and they're kind of considered to be some of the bigger, more influential banking analysts. Well, they had been negative on Bank of America, and it just so happens that they come out into yesterday, and they suddenly go from bearish on the stock, negative on the direction of the stock and the company, to bullish, you know, positive. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Buffett, as you said, Tony, he came up with the idea supposedly in the bathtub.
And that sounds like insider information.
It doesn't, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm not here to say that, but I'll tell you, you watch the trail sometimes. You know, it's interesting. how this stuff plays out. You know, Mr. Buffett is apparently talked to the president, and you know, they're having a Mr. Buffett's hosting a fundraiser for the president in a couple of weeks. So I mean, you got all this stuff, and you just say, and I think the market is kind of tired of that, because at the end of the day, on these banks, I'm not convinced that anybody really knows, even the people running them, because they're so massive, really knows deep down, you know, what's inside there. And that's why these bank stocks have been so weak, Tony. I think the market doesn't know either. And so everyone's concerned. You know, they're worried about a 2008-2009 replay. You know, unlikely to happen. I think these banks probably are in a lot better shape. The economy, although not firm, you know, is somewhat better. So, or I shouldn't say somewhat, quite a bit better. We just don't know at the end of the day. You don't know what they own because they don't really tell you.
Is this innovative thinking by Mr. Buffett maybe more of the kind of thinking that others that have the cash need to do? Because not only by infusing cash into corporations that need it, you can make yourself a profit.
You know, he's, you know, because of who he is and what he has, I mean, it's just, you know, how it works, as we all know. He has access to, you know, you and I are not going to be in the bathtub talking to the CEO from Bank of America. So, you know, that just, you know, he's been successful, and, you know, he deserves it, and I don't begrudge the guy being successful.
All right. So as we look forward, we're getting into the holiday here. Where's the market going to go?
We're in an interesting spot right now. You've got kind of a confluence of a couple things. One you could argue is relatively positive. The other one, I think, is undecided as yet. The big issue, Tony, really the two big issues, the economy certainly has contracted. We're going to find out here in a few minutes, in fact, where the second quarter GDP, gross domestic product number, is at. But that's the concern about the market. With the market, the other thing is Europe. You know, you hate to kind of keep talking about Europe, but there's stuff going on over there at the governmental and at the company level, their banks now, that has the market in the U.S. Spooked. And until those things tend to clear themselves, my sense is that the market is more interested in selling than folks are interested in buying until we get some clarity.
All right. And Doug, before I let you go, we've talked about this before, but I want you to clarify it again. From your perspective, what can be done, whether it's by Mr. Bernanke, whether it's by the Obama administration, what could be done to make the economy more successful, more efficient, and put it in a position, put business in a position to hire more people?
Certainty. I mean, it's we need certainty. You know, the country needs to know, corporations need to know, you know, where are we going and what are the regulations? You know, Tony, there was the administration put out, or Labor Department, via the, I guess, the administration just the other day. We just put out regulations as a country, you know, for people that herd goats in the United States. You have to provide, you know, this, lanterns as an example. I mean, somewhere in here, this is not the nanny state. This is still capitalism, or at least it's supposed to be. And when you have this overhang of all this stuff, I mean, why would you? I mean, that's what corporations are saying to the administration. Why would we? Why would we invest? I don't know where my taxes are going, other than I think you've told me you want them up. I don't know where the cost to provide health care to my employees is going, other than I think it's going up. I don't know what the compliance costs are for regulation, other than I know they're going up. You know, you go on the list. And that's not to make a political statement. That's just a fact. We don't have clarity on that stuff, and that makes people uneasy. You can't blame them, and it's sad because there's companies like Intel, for an example, the big semiconductor company. They have said labor is not the issue as to why they don't do, you know, manufacture. They do manufacture, but as much as they'd like to in the United States. It's the regulations. They can't get the darn plants off the ground, Tony, because there are environmental issues. And granted, we all want clean air, clean water. But, you know, the pendulum does go too far. And there's a reason that the money's leaving the country. Capital goes where the best return can be had. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it's not the United States right now. We need to change that right now.
Doug, it's been all quiet on the silver, gold, and crude oil front. What's going on?
Well, it's been quiet in the sense that it's been heading the wrong way the last couple of years. kind of your classic, what we would call, Tony, kind of a parabolic top. I mean, gold just went ballistic. You know, there's kind of a lesson there. With the commentary that you'd hear on the news, you know, things I was listening to, people talking about it, it suddenly felt like, hey, you just buy gold because it only goes up. And when everybody kind of starts to believe that, which I think coming into this week they did, you tend to make the top. And they've taken about about $170 an ounce out of gold in, you know, three sessions this week. That's pretty aggressive selling. It's analogous to real estate. When we had the bubble in real estate, the tech bubble, it just seemed like it was easy. And guess what? It's, you know, it's typically, unfortunately, it'd be nice if it was, but it's just not. And so gold's gotten hammered, and you've had the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the old called CME Group now. They've raised margin requirements now on gold. You've got some forces coming in on those metals. I think people want them down in terms of price, and they're going to lean against the price the best they can.
All right, Doug, I got to get to break. Doug Adler, Raymond James, East Lansing. Thanks so much.
Hey, have a good weekend.